2 Chronicles chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Huram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them, and caused the children of Israel to dwell there.
He says he built a house for the Lord, and then he built his own house. Not only that, the surrounding area, he built the city, and so Israeli people can live all around the countries. So he did everything, and now let's read the verse 3.
And Solomon went to Hamath-Zobah and prevailed against it.
And now he says, this is the first time Solomon having the war with Hamath, and it doesn't say in detail, but he defeated them, took their land, and build the houses there for the Israeli people. Also, verse 4.
And he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities, which he built in Hamath. Also he built Beth-horon the upper, and Beth-horon the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars, and Baalath, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion.
All these verses 1 to 6, we see Solomon's progress. What he did, defeated Hamath people, took their land, built the cities for children of Israel, built a place for the horses to be keeping, and chariots. All these things he kept, and now the land is having peace and Solomon's dominion in everywhere. Verse 7.
As for all the people that were left of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel.
Okay, now if you remember, God told these Israeli people, as you go to the foreign land, I give that land, but you destroy all of those people. And all the names are given here. But Israeli people did not destroy all these people, and now their children, they are grown up. But Solomon saying, now what I'm going to do, all these children of Hittite or Amorite or Perizzites or Jebusites, all these people, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to give them any chance in my military. I will not make them captain. They will be servants, and not only that, they have to pay taxes. And so he says, all these foreigners, they have to pay taxes, and they can be only servants, but not masters. Verse 8.
But of their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute unto this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and chief of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250, that bear rule over the people.
The foreigners, they have to pay taxes, and they can be servants, they cannot be masters, they cannot be leaders, they cannot be captains, and things like that. But all the children of Israel, he join them in the military, they are captains, they are warriors, and they are having dominion over these foreigners, and the foreigners are servants. Verse 11.
And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come.
Can you imagine, this is 20 years past. And now he's thinking, the Ark of the Covenant is in Jerusalem, the temple is in Jerusalem, and this place is holy place. The Pharaoh's daughter, she might be not worshiping Israeli God. So he thought in his heart, I am going to move her from the Jerusalem because she is defiling the city. Because when you are not worshiping the same God, and she might be worshipping her idols in her house, and Solomon didn't like it, so now he's taking her out of Jerusalem and making her house somewhere else. So Now, this is 20 years later. So you can see Solomon is still spiritual. He's still thinking about God. He has no mind to worship the heathen God, and he doesn't want to listen to Pharaoh's daughter. So he's taking her out and cleaning that place and making that place already holy, and he doesn't want anyone to defile that Jerusalem or the surrounding area. Verse 12.
Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord which he had built before the porch.
Now here, regular offering he's doing, not when the special time comes, will be special offering, but say every day, morning and evening, daily sacrifice he was doing. So from that you can see Solomon was very religious man at that time. Verse 13.
Even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the solemn feasts three times in the year, even in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks and in the feast of tabernacles.
According to the commandment of Moses, he's doing everything. He says all the Sabbath, new moons, all the different kinds of feasts, feast of unleavened bread, and feast of tabernacle, and all kinds of feasts. At that time, he is doing a special offering to God. So he's so far, he's so religious, and he's completely sold out to God. Verse 14.
And he appointed, according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded.
Here he's saying, David already appointed priests, Levites, and people who can sing and play the music. All those people, they were there. Now Solomon is putting in charge and telling them, do the service of the tabernacle, and whatever the service you can do, do it regularly. And they also were obeying the commandment of God. Verse 15.
And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord and until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was perfected.
Priests are doing their job. They are doing everything according to the will of God. Nobody is disobeying the commandment of God. And Solomon says now, my house is done and God's house is perfected. Means now there is nothing lacking and everything going smooth. Verse 17.
Then went Solomon to Ezion-Geber and to Eloth at the seaside in the land of Edom. And Huram sent in by the hands of his servants ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea. And they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took thence 450 talents of gold and brought them to King Solomon.
Solomon going to Edom by sea, and then Huram, his friend who is working together, he sent some ships, and the people who are working in the ships say, go and help Solomon, and whatever he wants, we will put it on a ship and give it to him. So they went to the place called Ophir. That's the place they were making pure gold. And so he went. These people went there and got the 450 talents of gold and brought to the King Solomon. That's like a 17 tons of gold. And so chapter finishes there. So in this chapter we see Solomon did everything according to the will of God, and he is worshiping Lord, he is glorifying God, and he is even cleaning the house of Pharaoh's daughter. So from this, he is completely sold out to God. New chapter starts, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, starting from verse 1.
And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not.
The queen of Sheba comes, and the word of God says she had so many hard questions. Maybe she asked so many people, nobody answered her. So she's thinking, I'm going to go to Solomon. I heard about his wisdom, and I'm going to ask him hard questions. And she started asking questions. We don't know what she asked. Doesn't say here. But Solomon had the wisdom of God, and he answered all her questions, and nothing was remaining. So she was really satisfied with his answers. Verse 3.
And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her.
Can you imagine this lady came? I think she heard about Solomon's great fame, and people were telling her, but she was not believing. He said, it cannot be that glorious. So she did not believe these things, but she wanted to come herself and see. When she comes, she sees her Solomon's servants, their dress code, their table service, and she went to the temple, and she might have seen all the arrangement in the temple, and she was breathless. She thought, wow, I never thought, whatever I was thinking these people might be not telling the truth. But after coming here, she saw, and she was very, very happy and satisfied. Verse 5.
And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was now told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard.
See, she said, I heard it, I didn't believe it. But when I came and I saw, now whatever I was thinking, it is more than what I was thinking. And she is really, really happy to see the wisdom of Solomon. Verse 7.
Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom.
She's very happy for other people. He said, all your servants and all the people working with you, they are very blessed. If you have a good pastor or good ministers, people will be thinking, hey, you are blessed. You should be taking advantage. And so she is saying these people should take advantage what you're teaching and what your wisdom is, so those people can learn from you. And so she was thinking, I didn't get that chance. She was thinking, if I would have been his queen, I would be happy. Verse 8.
Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel, to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them, to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And the servants also of Huram, and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones.
Now, when she came, she did not come with the empty-handed. She got all the camels loaded with the spices, loaded with the precious stone, loaded with the gold. He said 9,000 pounds of gold she bought, and all the spices and all kinds of other stuff she bought. And not only that, he said Huram, his worker who was working, he also start bringing more gold, Ophir gold, from different places. And they said, now these people had a lot of silver, a lot of gold, like some of the silver and precious things like a stone, means no value. That much riches Solomon had. Verse 11.
And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers. And there were none such seen before in the land of Judah.
Algum trees, but those trees might be so much good quality tree, because they made all kinds of harps and all kinds of musical instruments from that. And he says nobody had those kind of musical instruments, only Solomon had. So they might have bought so many special wood. Verse 12.
And King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants.
Now here is saying Solomon gave to King Sheba all her desire, whatever she asked. And some ministers I heard, she asked Solomon, can I have a child from you? But I don't know if it's true or not. But here it says, all of her desire, whatever she asked, Solomon gave it to her, and she went with all her servants and everyone went home. Verse 13.
Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603.6 talents of gold.
Okay, now every year, people are bringing gold. He's purchasing gold, or some people giving gift. All total every year, 25 tons of gold. Can you imagine? That much gold was coming every year. Verse 14.
Beside that which chapmen and merchants brought, and all the kings of Arabia and governors of the country brought gold and silver to Solomon. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of beaten gold went to one target, and 300 shields made of beaten gold, 300 shekels of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. And there were 6 steps to the throne with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne, and stays on each side of the sitting place, and 2 lions standing by the stays.
Now here we see, Solomon got a lot of gold, so he doesn't know what to do with this gold. So he starts using the gold wherever he can find the place. He even made some of the, for the military people, I don't think he gave it to somebody, but shield with the gold, 7.5 pound weight. And then he's making now a throne. That throne also is made it with the ivory, and then he put a gold on the top of that. I don't know why he did that, but the throne is completely gold. And then he made 6 steps, and then he put a throne and handrest. He put 2 lions there, and then he made the stool to put his feet. And so that also was gold, but that was attached to the throne. I thought somebody will pick it up and walk away. So he had 2 sets of stools. I thought, why he made 2? Maybe his wife or queen or somebody or can sit with him. So the throne was pretty wide and pretty big throne. And each step, there are 6 steps, each step, both sides are lions facing other way. And so there are 12 lions, 2 handrest lions, that means almost 14 lions. Everything, the throne and everything was gold. So you can imagine. And then he says here, that kind of throne no one had in the world at that particular time. I don't think there was anybody, rich person at that time, to make that one, that kind of thing. Not only that, the Solomon had the wisdom, so he can give the idea to people how to make it. And nobody had like that. Verse 19.
And 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. There was not the like made in any kingdom. And all the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon.
Can you imagine? All the cups and the plates, each and every item was pure gold. And they say there was not a silver used. In America, they say silverware, right? But never said goldware, because maybe rich people who are billionaires, they might be having gold spoons and things like that. But Solomon had everything gold, and they never used any silver at all. So from that you can see how much wealth Solomon had. And they were very proud. They said in his time, there was never used silver for the plates or spoons or cups and things like that. Verse 21.
For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks.
Can you imagine? Now they have ships. They have to go by ship. And it takes 3 years, maybe going slowly or loading everything and bringing. And what they bringing? They bringing all kinds of gold, silver, ivory, monkeys, peacock, and all kinds of things. Maybe he had a zoo. He was maybe animal lover too. So he got all kinds of things he would bring in every 3 years. I thought in those days they didn't have the plane. If he had the plane, he will be going every day and bringing the stuff. But you can see Solomon had a lot of silver, lot of gold, lot of ivory, all the monkeys and all the peacock. Solomon was very happy. Only one war he had. After that, there was no war in his time. So he was enjoying his life. Verse 22.
And King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom.
Now here he's saying, all the kings and all their riches, if you compare, and their wisdom, Solomon was number one. No one came close to Solomon's wisdom or the riches. Verse 23.
And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his hearts.
Now see, people are not only coming to see the wisdom. Queen of Sheba came from far away. The word of God says, you know, Queen of Sheba came from all the way to see Solomon's wisdom. And Jesus says, greater than Solomon is here. So here people are coming, not only bringing the stuffs, but they are coming to hear his wisdom. And so the people keep on coming to see the Solomon, the king. Verse 24.
And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and raiment, harness and spices, horses and mules, arrayed year by year.
See, they are not coming to see only wisdom, but they are bringing gifts each time they come. And now what they're bringing? Vessels of silver, vessels of gold, different kinds of clothes, spices, horses, mules, and they are not bringing one time, but every year when they come to see king, keep on bringing the stuff. So there is saying, when you have more, you keep on getting more. And so when you are rich, you don't have a lack of friend. When you are poor, people run away from you. They don't want any part of you. But when you are rich, everybody likes you and everybody wants something from you. Verse 25.
And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem.
Now you can see 4,000 stalls. So you can see how many horses and chariots he can keep. 12,000 horsemen and so many chariots. So now all of these chariots and the horsemen, they are in the Jerusalem. And they keep them in the fences and protecting them, so anytime war breaks out, people will be ready in Jerusalem. Verse 26.
And he reigned over all the kings from the river even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt.
Okay, now you can see how far he's reigning. His kingdom was from Philistines to the Egypt. So Philistines were under him, Egyptians were under him, Hamath people were under him. So his kingdom was almost all around that area, surrounding Palestine and all those countries, they were under him. Verse 27.
And the king made silver in Jerusalem as stones, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains in abundance.
Can you imagine? Silver like as stones, and all the other trees in abundance. So I was saying, algum trees and wood he bought it, red sandalwood. Sandalwood is very expensive. So that kind of wood people were bringing, and then he was making all kinds of musical instrument. Thousands of workers were there. So he's using those people to build the cities. And now the cities are built, the horses are there, the chariots are there, and silver and gold is there, and Solomon is very, very rich right now. Verse 28.
And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all lands.
Now we heard about before. So horses came from Egypt. Egyptian horses are very, very famous. And then he said, they not only Egypt, but all over the land, wherever they can find horses, people start bringing. And so horses and chariots and mules, all these riches Solomon got. Verse 29.
Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat?
Now here he's talking about the people were writing about Solomon's. We have the stories in 2 Chronicles. We have his stories in Kings. Some people are thinking that Nathan the prophet wrote the Kings. So he's saying, sir, Nathan the prophet, and then other prophet's name is given, and vision of Iddo. And what the vision was, here is saying they were talking about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. But it doesn't say what was this. But we know Jeroboam was the servant, one of the military officer working with Solomon. But what happened, one of the prophets prophesied and told him, this is your servant, very smart man, but he is going to be a king someday. So now this man ran away. I'm talking about Jeroboam. Jeroboam ran for his life because he came to know Solomon is going to kill him. So he ran to Egypt, but Solomon could not do anything about him, and he was not able to kill him. Why? Because it was a prophecy. When God is protecting, you cannot kill anybody. And so I was thinking, he married to Egyptian lady, that is his wife, Pharaoh's daughter. He has influence, right? He can tell his wife, talk to your dad, and I want that Jeroboam back to Jerusalem. He might have said, Pharaoh didn't listen, and nobody was able to arrest or even kill Jeroboam. So even though he was a great king, he had no power to kill one person. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes people think they have so much power, they can do everything and anything in their power, but if God doesn't allow you, you cannot do it. So you can see from the Solomon, he said, even though there was somebody got the vision, somebody did the prophecy, this man is going to be thrown in your son's flesh, and he will have his own kingdom, and maybe 10 tribes, he will be over 10 tribes. Your son will have more than 2 tribes. So he was a little bit jealous. I want to take care of this guy. I want to kill him, I want to destroy him. But he was not able to do it. And even the God told Jeroboam, I'm going to give you the 10 tribes. And God told him, God has chosen him for 10 tribes. So we studied on Kings. But as soon as he got this kingdom, he made the calf, you remember, and start worshiping the calf. And he destroyed all these 10 tribes of Israel because he became so much powerful king. And each time we studied, he says, no one did sin like a Jeroboam. And he told other people to commit sin. So he was influencing people to commit sin. So 20 years of Solomon's ministry, he's having prosperity. He's having everything good time. Even the Pharaoh's daughter, he took her out of Jerusalem, cleansed the Jerusalem. He says, now Jerusalem is the holiest place. Sacrifice is happening all the time. People are obeying the commandment. Everything going smooth. But at the same time, you will see when they in the Bible doesn't say what year or what time Solomon turned to idol worship. And how he did it? Because the word of God says, because of he married foreign ladies, and they entice him, and they may be crying, oh, you got a beautiful temple, but for my God, there is no temple. If you love me, you can build a temple for me. They say, okay, don't cry, I'll make a temple for you. So each and every ladies, they were coming from foreign land, and he built the temple for them. high places for them. And he even, they might have said, oh, you build the temple and everything, but you don't come and worship with us. And so he even, to please them, he start worshiping idol worshiper. So you can see how powerful man, how godly man, but the ladies can twist your heart. So you have to be very careful. If you are a born-again child of God, an unsaved girl tried to entice you, you tell the girl, I am a born-again child of God. I am baptized. I go to church. Would you like to go to church? Would you like to give your heart to the Lord? She said, no. Then you said, bye-bye. Even though she is beautiful, she might be king's daughter or whatever, leave her alone, because she will ruin your life. If they can ruin the Solomon's life, it can ruin anyone's life. Solomon has the wisdom. He has the riches. God gave him knowledge, everything he had. But those ladies turned him to the heathen god, and he lost it. And I was thinking, Solomon would have gone to hell. But he came back, he turned to God, and he said, I tried everything. I tried all kinds of things, but that did not satisfy him. He says, only thing, fear God, love God. That's the only thing mankind can do in this world. And so the point I'm making, he got maybe last chance. That is because of his father's love for God, and he turned around. If somebody really genuinely saved, and even they became backslidden, God can turn that person around. There is a word says, train up your child that he must go to the God's way, and even though he depart from that, he will come back. But you have to have that kind of teaching from your childhood. Many children, they grow and they being 18 and they turn around and go to the world or do something, and they don't listen. The pastor's children, and this is happening everywhere in the world. But mother and father, they're godly. They taught them the word of God, and sometime they will turn around. But thank God, Solomon, somehow God protected him. Okay, we're going to read a couple of words.
And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead.
Okay, now he ran, he was a king for 40 years, just like his father. And then he says, the word of God says, Solomon slept. From that you know he did not go to hell. Even the Stephen, they were stoning him to death. The word of God says he slept. So all the children of God, when they die, they are sleeping. If he would have committed sin and he went to hell, this word will not be there, he slept. So, thank God, Solomon, even though he was a great king, did so many great things, he became backslidden, but he turned around and he went to heaven. So the point I'm making, you can have everything in this world, but if you don't have God, you have emptiness. And if you have everything in this world, and if you go after the flesh, the going after flesh, the word of God says enmity with God. When we go after world, we became the enemy of God. God wants us to be stay in him. When you live with God, you got everything. But when you go after the worldly thing, you lose everything. They're thinking this medicine or this injection or this thing make me high, make me feel good and things like that. And they once they take it, they hook to that thing, it is very difficult to take them away. Only God can do it. I have seen there is a one man came, his mother brought to the church. Man was like a tall, strong man, and I looked at him, his eyes were red, and his mother said, I'm scared of my son, but he is in a drug. I did everything, nothing is happening. I laid hand and prayed for him. Instantly, God healed him. He started coming to church and completely clean. So the point I'm making, there is nothing impossible with God. And God gives you opportunity to tell others what God has done for you. You have to take the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, for keeping. Thank you for protecting. Thank you for supplying our needs. Bless the people who are here. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.